Final hour, DDC here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Our buddy Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, now joins us. He's been working with PK Subban. How would you get, what would be your grade for PK and his work thus far?
Is there something above an A plus? I don't even know. I don't know how. Well, I don't know what scale we're working on.
Okay,
no, superlatives.
Dude, PK is awesome. Like he's done our show, The Drop, which by the way is on at 6:30 tonight. You can find it on Twitter and ESPN Plus. And he's been on a few times, and he's just kind of like held court at the early part of the show and been really candid and honest. Like PK has done everything I've hoped that PK would do on television, which is one, obviously class up the joint a little bit. And then two, like just be honest and candid with his assessment of what's going on. And you know, we've had him talk about the Avalanche and Kale McCarr. We've had him break down the fashion sense of the players. Like he's done all the things that I've wanted from a fan's perspective, PK to be as a broadcaster. And, you know, who knows what's going on with the hockey with him as a free agent, but if he's looking for a second part of the career, I think he's probably found it.
Well, I don't think, I mean, look, anybody who's spending time, obviously we spent time around him with the, you know, when he was here with the Preds and Greg, you've been covering this league for a long time. I mean, I don't think anybody would be, what? PK getting in the media after his playing days are over? Like, I don't think that would surprise anybody, but I think he's dipping the toe in the waters, right? Just to kind of start, maybe get that ball. I don't think he's done yet. What's your feel? I mean, what do you think, honestly, a year, two, or where are you on the rest of his playing career?
Yeah, I think he could still play. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be the Norris Trophy contender he once was. I also don't think he's necessarily a third-pairing guy. I think the problem for PK has been that contract and that cap hit and the inability for any contending team to take him on. Like, I'm sure if they had the opportunity that the Toronto Maple Leafs would have easily acquired PK Subban in the same manner in which they acquired Mark Giordano, you know, if the price tag was right, I think he would have fit in nicely on that team. You know, he doesn't have the wheels he used to have. I'm not quite sure if I'd trust him with my power play, but I think that he's a guy that certainly brings a veteran presence, brings the right personality into your room. I mean, I've been around the Devils in the time he's been there, and he's like a den mother with that team. Like, he's just been like a really great person to have around that group of young players. And I think you could bring him into any room in this league and he'd have a positive influence. So if he wants to keep going, I think he's going to find opportunities. I really do. I just don't think it's going to be at the price tag that it's been at previously.
Yeah, no doubt. When the Predators traded him to New Jersey, he had 3 years guaranteed, nine per, so $27 million that they shifted to the Devils. So I'm not going to tell you our discussions because I want to hear your answer. And these guys will get a laugh on whether – I'm close or not. Let's just go on the premise of his next deal is a one-year deal. Like you said, he's not going to get $9 million. What do you think is the number PK could get to play next season on, let's just say, a one-year deal? What kind of number do you think it would be?
Whew. Well, I mean, there's the money he'd probably look for, and then there's the money he'd probably get, and we're still in a league with a somewhat flat cap. I'll caveat this. I think there's probably a difference in money for PK, depending on whether or not he's trying to fit within the salary structure of a contending team, like, say, like the Lightning or, say, like the Leafs,
okay.
And whether he's going someplace else to simply just keep playing and make some bank on a team that, you know, might be on the way up, say, like Anaheim, for example, just to, like, pull a name out of my behind here. I think if it's a team that's on the way up, maybe 5-5, if it's a team that is contending and he needs to kind of fit in there, maybe it's 3-5 to 4.
Okay. Either way, Willie, that is the $3 million mark that I said he can definitely get at least $3 million out of somebody to play.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Like he's not, I mean, he's still a name on the marquee kind of guy and a guy that I think can certainly bring value to your team. I don't think what's happened to him in Jersey the last couple of seasons is indicative of what his value is going to be. I mean, I could be completely wrong. I mean, there is a certain age that these guys get to where all of a sudden it's like they don't make any money and now they've got to go to somebody's training camp and like on an invite, right? Life comes at you fast in the NHL, but I still think that he's got some value. And like I said, there was definitely interest in him at the trade deadline, but it just couldn't manifest because of his contract being what it was and the Devils not being desirous to pick up any of it.
And us making picks every year going to the Stanley Cup playoffs, I pulled a Britney Spears again, Greg, and did a oops, I did it again. I picked the wrong team like right away. I knew in the series, like, oh, crap. I did it a couple years ago. These guys know I picked the Rangers to beat Carolina. And after game one, I came back and I was like, I'm pulling the ripcord. I totally goofed. Rangers are not winning this series. It's over. Carolina wins. And, of course, the Hurricanes mopped them. And this year, my as you probably know where I'm going with this, it just series that just wrapped up last night, my whoops, oops, I did it again, was I picked the Panthers to beat the Lightning. And, yeah, I was like, what was I thinking? They're not beating the Lightning. So were you surprised, though, in the fashion that Tampa beat Florida? I mean, the sweep. And what does that mean from Andrew Burnett, you think, moving forward?
Well, first off, unless I'm wrong, there won't be a Florida-Minnesota final, so my picks are just as good as yours. pretty sure I ain't going to happen.
Is that what you had, Florida-Minnesota?
Yeah, well, okay. I really thought, I still believe, by the way, that like the winner of that Minnesota-St. Louis series was going to play for the Cup, and as much as the Avalanche fans are giving it to me now for picking St. Louis in that series, I still think they would have won that series if Binnington didn't get hurt. He was playing out of his mind. They had so much confidence playing in front of him. I think that's a much different series. And again, I mean, you talk about, you know, horseshoe time for the Predators, two straight series where the goalie gets hurt or the goalie's out of the lineup. I mean, my God, maybe it's all just like lining up for them this postseason for the Avalanche. But as far as the Panthers go, so I've spoken with GM Bill Zito of the Panthers. I spoke to him before the postseason started and tried to get a gauge on, like, what the future of Andrew Burnett was going to be. And I got to tell you, the sense I got was that it was probably trending towards an extension for him based on what they had done in the regular season and the job he had done in shepherding them after Quenneville resigned and everything else. But the caveat I think I got was that, unless something screwy happens in the postseason. So the question is, winning a round in the playoffs, which Florida had not done since 1996, right? And then getting whacked by a team that could maybe be winning its third straight Stanley Cup. Is that something that is a fireable offense or a let's not extend the relationship offense? Or do we just look at this like we looked at the Leafs loss and say, all right, it's the Lightning. And granted, like a sweep hurts much more than a 7-game loss. And he definitely got out coached by John Cooper in the series. No question about it. And my God, you know, for the power play to be that terrible for two rounds, I mean, there's got to be something going on under the hood, right? But it's still the Lightning, right? And the Lightning are really good. And maybe you run it back and see if maybe as a whole this team figures out what they can and can't do in the playoffs after this run and then comes back stronger for it. Or it could be, and you guys remember this, it could be that crisis of conscience that the Washington Capitals had about a decade ago where they were the team in the regular season, beating the hell out of everybody offensively, couldn't score in the playoffs when they needed to, and then all of a sudden started firing coaches and trying to change their style and doing all this stuff. So it's going to be a real interesting philosophical debate to be had in Florida after this series.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, talking NHL playoffs here, and the offseason as it moves forward. We just saw Brian Rust sign, and Greg, I'm just curious, too, as we watch the market inch towards the free agency period, give us your gauge on your thought of what Philip Forsberg is worth in terms of average. You know, what's the deal in your mind that is the right deal for him, if you had to guess?
I think the right deal for him is exactly, you know, where I think a lot of people expected to end up in Nashville, which is right under Roman Josi. I mean, like, he's really, really good. And he's going to get paid on the open market if he hits it. He's a top-line player. He drives offense. He does all the things you want. You add him to your team. You elevate your group, no question about it. And the fact that it's gone on this long with Nashville is hard to gauge. Are they just trying? Are they running under the assumption that he wants to stay and they're just hoping that he comes down on his number? Like, what do those negotiations look like? I don't know. I mean, it's bizarre to have this go as long as it does, and then him, you know, actually staying there. I'll be honest with you, like, that's not usually how it works with these things.
So 8.5 is about in the neighborhood that you're saying?
I think definitely. I mean, he would definitely get that on the open market. And so you bring up Brian Rust, and Brian Rust is an example, and this is going to, you know, make some Predators fans happy. Brian Russell is an example of something that I have said time and time again is the most important thing you have to remember about free agency in the National Hockey League, which is that these guys don't want to leave their stuff. His stuff's in Pittsburgh. It's been in Pittsburgh his entire career. Forsberg's stuff is in Nashville. He doesn't necessarily want to move his stuff. And more often than not, that's what keeps these guys from not going anywhere. It's the familiarity. It's the comfort. It's knowing that you're going to be on a competitive team. And it's that your stuff is there. And so I'm still kind of erring on the side of him staying just because of that theory. But it's a very bizarre negotiation for it to have gone on this long.
That is a classic George Carlin bit that I saw the other day. They have a great documentary on him. And
I can't wait to watch it. Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's like Apatow, right? And it's the same kind of vein as the Gary Shandling one that you did.
I've seen part of one episode. I got to watch the whole thing. It's great. He's one of my favorites. But that is a great bit. Is a home is really just a place to put your stuff.
Put your stuff, great. Okay, you're the first person. I've done that. I've done this free agent spiel 1,000 times. I think you're the first person to put the Carlin thing together with it.
Well, well done.
All right.
Just a homage to Carlin. Yeah.
Well, give us this. Just a thought or two on the performance by Nazem Kadri, another guy who's a potential free agent here, but wow, uplifting. I think if you're certainly from the Colorado perspective, and I'm sure you've seen some of the nasty tweets, just the sad part of the unfortunate part of social media, which we love. You're a big part of it. We follow you, and there's a lot of great things on social media, but there's an ugly side too.
There is, and I mean, the idiots on Instagram that decided to put their name to their comments that are flying all over the internet. Congratulations, you morons. Like, good luck finding the next job. It's tragic that this happens in hockey. And it happens to hockey for players of color more often than we're even, you know, cognizant of. And so when it comes to the forefront like this, it's important to understand how horrible it is for the individual, how horrible it is for the sport. People try to work really hard to separate the hockey out of a situation like this, but you can't. It speaks to the systemic racism that you still find in this sport. And Jared Bednar, the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche, went through great lengths last night letting St. Louis coach Craig Berube off the hook for not commenting on the threats. And I know that these coaches are trained to not talk about the other team's players, and I realize that there's a lot of context when it comes to Kadri and the Blues with the hit on Falk last year that earned him the 8-game suspension, with the situation with Bennington where they're not really believing that it's an accident. I get that. But, man, don't no comment the threats. Like, just speak to the threats. Just say they're wrong. Just say don't do it. Say something. Because to hear it from Berube with that context about Kadri makes that statement so much more powerful than it would be coming from anybody else, right? And so for him to punt on that before Game 4, I thought was really frustrating, and just spoke to the kinds of little things that we could all do to try to, you know, get away from this garbage.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, good that their names are on it. I hope that stuff does play out. You shouldn't be able to skate free. I hope there are consequences to those people. So good.
For sure.
If they don't get jobs because of it, too bad.
Two things on Kadri real quick. One is I was really impressed with the way that he took great pains to say it's not all Blues fans doing this, and to be crystal clear about that last night. Because I think a lot of Blues fans were coming at me this morning and being like, well, what if I boo him? Am I a racist? And I'm like, listen to what the man's saying. It's not about you, man. It's about this select group of people that were threatening him to the point of needing police escalation at their hotel. Yeah. And the other thing is this is a guy who's a hothead. I mean, he's been a hothead. He has multiple suspensions in the playoffs, and I give him all the credit in the world last night when he's getting tackled by David Perron and pushed around, and the Blues are popping off and they're losing their minds. The old Nazem Kadri would have slashed back. The old Nazem Kadri would have cross-checked back, and instead
the 5-on-3.
I think Eric Johnson said, you know, took it on the chin and kept playing, and that is a sign of the maturity that I think this guy is starting to finally have at 31.
Well, to your point, I mean, I know they went on to win the game, but that 5-on-3 could have been the end of the game. At that point, it could have. I know they didn't. I don't think they scored. I think they scored right afterwards.
But, Kadri scored right afterwards.
And it was the game-winning goal.
But
it
was, yeah. That was.
It did end up mattering. Yeah, the Blues were gassed, and he scores, and it just goes to show, man. Like the Blues, for all their bluster about, you know, he doesn't matter to us, and this, that, and the other thing. The first second they had a chance to get comeuppance on that guy, two guys take penalties, and it basically ruined the game for them. So there you go.
Greg, on the way out, just quick, just percentage. Like, we've been trying to do that as we get a little bit closer to July 13th. What would you assess the odds of with your stuff comments? His stuff is in Nashville. What would you assess the odds that he returns to the Predators at?
70%.
Oh, okay. So you're.
Does that sound good? Higher, is that higher than you thought?
You're higher than us, yes.
By 3%. I said, well, 67%.
You said 66.
Two-thirds, one-third.
You said 66. Yeah. Go back, well, check the tape.
There's a 3% margin of error in my prediction. So. Okay.
About, I said 60%. Derek said 40%. So you're higher than all three.
Ooh,
guys.
Wow. We'll see. I mean, he'll get
Derek has moved more than us, though. Derek is not
moved.
Afraid to move.
Yeah. He's not afraid to move his stuff.
Hey. Well, you got to move. You got to move.
Greg, always appreciate the visit, man. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk soon.
Anytime, boys. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, ESPN.com. We'll come back and discuss some of that on the other side. It is unfortunate if you haven't been following the Kadri incident. We could touch on that as well. But that was really good stuff right there. Let me talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because they've been helping me for years, and they can help you. And I know they've already helped a lot of you out there because you've told me and you've told them. If you'd like to become healthier and happier or have them improve your quality of life that we all struggle with as we get older, right? There's more challenges with our body. Well, they've got a very experienced staff over there that can help you, including Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse. And maybe it's shedding a few unwanted pounds. Weight loss management is important to them. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important. It also becomes challenging as we get older. Their staff can talk to you about PRP, hair removal, Botox, finally hormone therapy. If you've been feeling off lately, haven't felt yourself, haven't had the same drive, haven't had the same energy, maybe even been experiencing mood swings, you're like, what the heck is going on? This is not like me. Well, get your levels checked. Maybe they've dipped. If they've dipped, that can affect you in these areas. They'll be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. These are just some of the things they do under one roof there in their state-of-the-art facility in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, CoolSpringsMD.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.